learn. They got to fix that between now and the next time they play a quality opponent. Let's go to the Fidelity Communications Hotline and bring in Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com, back from Portland. How was your trip?
Man, I loved it. You know, it rained every day, but overall it was fantastic. Got to go explore a little bit, and, you know, when I actually had to work, it was some pretty great basketball I got to cover. A lot of great teams, and got the chance to get done with my stuff in time to see a lot of the really good games that happened. It was not the worst way to spend a Thanksgiving weekend, that's for sure.
We got lucky at Fox 16, my weekend sports anchor. He's from Portland. So he went home for the Thanksgiving holidays and a little vacation and spent up all of his vacation. He's still there, actually, coming home tomorrow, or coming back to Little Rock tomorrow. But he absolutely had a blast. And just he was raving about the tournament itself, too. Is this something that could become, do you think, the Invitational, a yearly event?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously did it for Phil Knight's 80th birthday, hence the PK80 name. But there were people during the tournament that really kept saying that they thought that there was a chance for it to happen, to become an annual thing and something that they started doing and really trying to attract these kind of top-tier teams on an every-year basis. I know there are people from Kentucky that really want Kentucky to be a part of it going forward if it does turn into something that is an every year deal. I think the positive momentum from how much of a success the weekend was, I mean, if it was a dud and there really weren't that many great games and it wasn't that good of a quality of basketball this weekend, I don't think it would be something that was pursued as much or talked about as much as it is. But it was just such an overwhelming success. A lot of great turnouts from fan bases and just a really fun atmosphere. I mean, it felt like an NCAA tournament. Like a super regional almost, you know, teams playing to try and get into the Final Four. Like, you feel like Sweet 16, Elite Eight type games, and you know, that Duke Florida game that cast off the whole thing was just incredibly thrilling. So I think that there's a chance. I don't know that it'll happen. Obviously, I'm not really in tune with the inner workings of Nike and all that, but I think that how successful the tournament was means that there's a good chance that they'll at least explore the idea of making it a regular thing.
Okay, Jimmy, what your thoughts on Arkansas after watching them three games against, you know what, three pretty good opponents, one great opponent and two pretty good ones?
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird weekend, kind of a roller coaster. You go from the high of beating an OU team that I think is going to be an NCAA tournament team. I mean, Trae Young is so good. I've said this a couple times. I think he plays like Steph Curry. Obviously, no one is Steph Curry, but just the way he plays, he's incredible. And for Arkansas to win that game, oh, he's going to win a lot of games because they're going to score a ton of points because he's that good offensively. And I think that'll be a really good win come March. Arkansas, I thought, played really well. That game was super fun, really fast. And then you turn around and you juxtapose that with a North Carolina game where North Carolina really slowed Arkansas down, especially in that first half. And Arkansas is a top 20 team in the country in pace and averages like 14, 15 seconds of possession. That first half, it was 20 seconds of possession, just a huge difference. Incredibly slow. They were in a slog offensively. I thought you saw like their worst possible traits come out in the half court, guys going one-on-one, ISOing, taking contested shots, not really screening and cutting hard for each other, and then they just couldn't get out and run. Part of that was that they had trouble on the offensive glass, on the defensive glass. North Carolina really had a few moments where they rebounded their own misses well, and it's hard to get out and run when you're having to take the ball out of bounds. And I think just the shooting issues that Arkansas had got to it a little bit, and it's sometimes difficult to play defense as hard when you're not shooting as well. Your head kind of drops a little bit, and you get down, and it just kind of all is connected. And I think that they started out really well, and that didn't last long. And whenever it didn't, I think they kind of hung their head a little bit. And that wasn't the performance they wanted to have. And regardless of what they say, that was a game that meant a lot to them. You know that it was something that they knew that they had the chance to do since the summer started, and it was something that drove them in off-season workouts. So it was disappointing. And then you've got the Daryl Macon ankle, and you kind of, you know, that's the worst possible thing. You come out of this tournament with one of your best players, arguably your best player, sidelines. But obviously, he comes back the next day, and to beat UConn the way they did, I don't think UConn's a great team, but they are a really good program, and you know, could be a decent team this year. And if when you're up 42, regardless of the opponent, that it's an impressive game, and they were great. Macon played really well for getting hurt 48 hours earlier, and just to cap off the weekend with a performance like that, I thought was really impressive. And like Mike Anderson said, to go 2-1 was really good. I'd rather have gone 3-0, but the two wins, to win them the way that they did, was really what you look at and go from this weekend and think that that's something that they can build on moving forward.
What do you think this team has to do to get ranked? I thought there was a chance they would be ranked this week, and they weren't even close. Is it going to have to be win their next three, beat Minnesota to get ranked?
Yeah, I think that's probably a likely scenario. I wasn't really surprised that they weren't ranked, so they're 33 if you extend the AP poll and 30 in the coaches, I believe. And, I mean, there's four SEC teams ranked right now. Kentucky, A&M, and Florida, obviously, are all in the top 10, and then Bama is 24. So I think that Arkansas, I mean, they're the fifth team, and I think that there's probably good reason for that. You look at Arkansas's big test, and even though the game was closer than 19, they got beat by 19 by North Carolina. So, and obviously a lot of the early season rankings are the result of where people thought you were heading into the year. So Arkansas wasn't on the radar. Obviously they're moving onto the radar. I think people noticed and definitely took notice of their weekend in Portland, but they haven't arrived yet. Now, if they beat Houston and there are a lot of upsets this weekend, then maybe they slip into that top 25. Probably the more likely thing is if they can beat Houston and then, like you said, win Colorado State game. And if they beat Minnesota, they'll be ranked, because Minnesota could very well be a top 10 team by the time they come to Bud Walton on December 9th. And that'll be a huge game. And that'll be their second chance to really prove against a really top-tier type team that they are deserving of being ranked. And, you know, if they win that game, they'll probably be a top 20 team. They'll be 8-1, and that'll be a really, really good win, and I think some of their other wins, especially the OU win, is going to start looking better as the season goes along.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. Best thing you saw in Portland on the basketball court, was it C.J. Jones and the way he stepped up when Macon went down and then followed it up against UConn?
CJ was big, and this is, you know, I've written so much about him, and I think he's such a key part of the team. So to see him break out was, you know, hugely important. His game is based on confidence, and he didn't start the year well. He finally got consistent playing time, and I think he was 2-for-10 after the OU game from three this year, and then he goes 7-16 the next two games. Obviously, he missed some what I felt like were big momentum shots in the North Carolina game, but obviously hit the two late when they kind of made their run to get back in it briefly. And then turn around and had 19 on 8 shots against UConn. I think he looked, you know, just like a completely different guy once his shot started falling a little bit. They all looked good coming out of his hand. He's got such a pure stroke. But for them to start dropping, I think that meant a lot, and that's something that moving forward is going to be huge for him, because he's based on a lot of his games based on confidence at this point, and he's a sophomore who hasn't really played a bunch. They need him to play a lot. They are going to rely on him to really be that fourth guy, and he's got to be able to play more than he did early on in the tournament and in some of the previous games. They need him to be able to play 22, 24 minutes a night and really be someone who they can rely on to throw out there and give the three senior guards a little bit more rest, because they're playing pretty heavy minutes, especially for how fast Arkansas plays. The thing I thought, and this kind of sounds generic, but the thing that really stood out to me is that in the first four games of the season, or three games of the season, headed to Portland, Arkansas's defense was incredible with Daniel Gafford on the court. And so you look at the quality competition. While they weren't bad teams, you're like, well, I wonder how sustainable that is. in Portland, they allowed about 76 points per 100 possessions with Gafford on the floor. Obviously, that wasn't as much as they wanted him to be on the court because foul trouble continues to be an issue for him. And a lot of that is his own doing and stuff he's got to learn from. But they are, you know, 76 defensive rating would lead the country hands down. It's an incredible number. They are a completely different team with him on the court, and that translated to good competition. They went on 9-0 and 10-0 runs against North Carolina, and he was on the court for both of them, and he just changes so much. And so I don't think that there was a lot of doubt in my mind that that was going to translate, but to see him make that big of an impact that early against pretty good competition just reinforces to me how special he can be. And obviously he did some good things offensively. He finishes so well and really had a good passing weekend. I think he's underrated in that area. I think his foul trouble might help Arkansas long term because scouts, and there were a ton of them there, they didn't get to see as much of him as they would have otherwise, because whenever he has been not in foul trouble, Mike Anderson's played him in the mid to upper 20s minutes-wise. But, you know, he had a really impressive weekend in the time that he did play, and he looks like a guy that once he starts to figure out the foul issues, he's going to be a defensive anchor, and they've shown signs of being an elite defense when he's on the court. So I think that was a big development just to see it translate against the quality of competition that they're going up against.
Hey, Jimmy, before we let you go, Daniel Gafford, he gets a lot of cheap fouls, and sometimes it's his fault, but sometimes I'm just like, dude, he's just standing there with his hands up. What do you want him to do? What has Gafford got to do to stay out of foul trouble?
So I think that's going to be a really interesting development as the season kind of moves along. You're right, he does get a ton of cheap fouls. Mike talked about it after the UConn game. He got three really cheap fouls in the first half. They were all kind of the result of him not being strong enough at this point. And obviously he's going to get stronger. He came in at like 215 pounds and he weighs about 235 now. So he already from late May to now, he's made, you know, huge strides. But all three of his first half fouls were really the result of him getting a rebound, getting a loose ball, and then not being strong enough and somebody ripping it away and him getting called for a foul in the aftermath of that. And so you take away those and really they're not, you know, he's not in foul trouble. It's not an issue like it turned out to be. Yeah, he's had some, they're working with him on verticality. So just putting your arms straight up and you don't have to try and block everything. If you can block it as a weak side defender coming over, go for it. But if someone's driving right at you, you probably are better off influencing the shot, using your length to make them finish over, you know, a 7'2 wingspan and a guy who's really athletic. You go straight up. He hasn't gotten some of those calls. He's gotten some, and he's really contested shots well at times, but other times he hasn't gotten calls, and that'll happen. I mean, you're not going to get every call at the rim, especially, you know, if there's contact, but I think it's something that as we get deeper into the season is going to start to change, because like it or not, referees give more lenience to players who they know are good and players that they realize have a lot of talent. I mean, that's just, basketball's always worked that way. You know, you hear about star calls, and if someone emerges as a rim protector who's really, really good, then they're going to be given a little bit more leniency and the benefit of the doubt on calls like that. And I think that he is going to definitely emerge as that kind of player. And so he's going to get called for fouls still. He's got to cut down the stupid, silly fouls. But I do think that as we get deeper on into the year and as we get closer to SEC play, they've got to hope at least that how impressive he's been and just his ability on the defensive end is something that starts to benefit him and he starts to get sort of, a favorable whistle in his direction. And it's not like a freshman where you get called for everything because they're like, oh, yeah, that guy's good defensively. That probably wasn't a foul. And I think we'll start to see that happen maybe here in the next couple weeks.
Jimmy, it's great. Enjoyed the conversation. Glad to have you back on after your trip to Portland. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. Coming up next, we got the Everett Buick GMC What to Watch. Trey Reed will join us for the Game and Fish Report. And we got to finish it up with What to Bank On. Stick around. This is Game On.